Hello, my name is Steve Wilbraham, and I'm the senior pastor of Congregational Presbyterian Church. We are glad to offer these audio sermons for our congregation and for those interested in learning more about our church and the Christian faith. We invite you to visit us, to meet our pastors and members, and to join us in the journey of faith. The mission of our church is to know Christ, to become like Christ, and to share Christ. Now, on to the sermon.
I grew up in Denmark. I remember as a boy being fascinated by stories of how the Danish people dealt with the German occupation during the Second World War. And it really was a dark time for the people in Denmark. Tiny nation of Denmark really had no chance to withstand the military juggernaut that was Germany. And they were quickly defeated and overcome. And then there quickly came a time where that darkness deepened in Denmark because the German Nazis declared that every Danish Jew must wear the Star of David on their sleeve, in order, obviously, to make it easier for the Nazis to identify and to mistreat them. And it was in the midst of this darkness that the king of Denmark, Christian X, made a proclamation. And he declared that all Danes are equal. And if Jewish Danes were forced to wear a star, he said, then he himself would wear the Star of David. And he did, and began to appear in public wearing the star. And very quickly, the people of Denmark who loved their king began to emulate him. And more Danes wore the star, and quickly it became impossible for the Nazis to at least use that form of identification to persecute Jews in Denmark. A small glimmer of light in the darkness. Goodness in the midst of evil. Today we are going to look at a few verses from the prophet Isaiah from the 9th chapter. The historical context in which Isaiah writes these verses is that the empire of Assyria, the mighty empire, has come in and declared war against the northern part of Israel and has conquered northern Israel and is now occupying the land. And Isaiah says that a time of deep darkness has come upon the land, but yet God is at work and God will bring light. And so Isaiah's prophecy in Isaiah chapter 9 speaks the word of God into the darkness of our world. Again, Isaiah chapter 9, if you're here in the sanctuary, you'll find these verses printed in your bulletin. For those of you at home, we will have them up here on the screen so you can read along. Or if you have your own Bible, certainly I invite you to turn with me again to Isaiah chapter 9. We will read verses 2, 6, and 7. The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. For those who live in a land of deep darkness, a light will shine. For a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and its peace will never end. He will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all eternity. The passionate commitment of the Lord of Heaven's armies will make this happen? People living in darkness need a light to shine. Whether you are a conquered people having been invaded by the Assyrians or by the Nazis, or whether we are living in our dark world today, impacted by things that come into our lives and disrupt and darken. Perhaps for yourself or for a friend or a loved one, you have recently received a medical diagnosis that is very dire. It may be that you're experiencing a financial hardship of some kind. Perhaps you have lost your job. And things seem dark, and you need light in your world. Perhaps you are dealing with the loss of a loved one, someone close to you, someone dear to you. And it may be that you are entering this Christmas season for the first time without that very special and important person in your life. And there's a particular kind of loneliness and even a feeling of abandonment that is a part of the current experience of the current darkness in your life. And spiritually speaking, the reality of sin that we commit brings darkness into our relationship with God. As the children of God, we recognize and we accept that sin is forgiven through Jesus Christ when we confess it, and we're grateful for that forgiveness, and we receive that forgiveness, but there's still something within us that is darkened in our relationship with God. And certainly if our sin is directed towards another person, causing damage to our relationship with them, that also can bring a sense of darkness, a pain to that relationship. And we may be experiencing that darkness right now. We need light in our darkness. And there is nothing that we can do in and of ourselves to bring about that light. Heaven knows that humanity for thousands of years have been trying to manufacture some kind of light in the midst of the darkness of evil that is a part of our human existence, and we have been unable to do so. We attempt various kinds of religion. We pursue different kinds of philosophies, ethical systems, moral ways of living. We look perhaps to education or to technology or some other humanly manufactured reality, and we say that'll bring light to the world. That will enlighten humanity. That will change the way we are and how we deal with each other. And yet history has taught us, and our current experience confirms, that there truly is nothing that we can do to bring light in any kind of meaningful way, certainly any kind of permanent way, into our darkness. And so is all lost. Are we simply, having been born into this world, fated to experience the darkness, the difficulty, the struggle, the pain, the trouble of our existence? No, says Isaiah. No, says God speaking through his prophet. I, God, am aware of the darkness in which you live, and I am going to send you a light. And so the people living in darkness have seen a great light. Isaiah says in verse 2. And then down in verse 6, he begins to explain to us about that light. What is that light? Mysteriously, interestingly, humbly, unexpectedly, the light is a child that is born to us. The light is a son who has been given to us. 700 years after Isaiah writes down the words of the Lord, Jesus the Christ is born in Bethlehem. He is born as a child. His mother's name is Mary. And he is given to us as the Son of God, affirmed by God himself in many ways. For example, at Jesus' baptism, God speaks audibly from heaven and says, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." John says in the third chapter of his gospel, "For God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son." A Son is given to us by a loving heavenly Father that he may bring light, God's light, into the darkness of our reality. And it was also John, the gospel writer, in the first chapter of his gospel, who says, "And the light came to the darkness." The light was born into this world. He has been given to us by God that he may be a light in our darkness. And so Jesus, this human person who was born and grew up there in Palestine, this Son of God, come down to be with us, Emmanuel, which means God with us, began to live a life that helps us to see what it means that light has come into the darkness of disease. He brought healing into the darkness of literal blindness. He caused people to be able to see. Into the darkness of lameness, people were able to walk again. Into the darkness of leprosy, he brought cleansing. Even into the darkness of death, he brought new life. The light of Jesus, the light of the world, was also seen in what he said in his preaching, as he speaks the marvelous words of the Sermon on the Mount, the ethical, godly way to live in relationship with God and in relationship with one another. He brought light through the great parables that he taught his followers, the parable of the prodigal son, about a merciful father who forgives and receives and reinstitutes into the family the one who has gone astray. The amazing parable of the Good Samaritan, answering the question, "Who is my neighbor?" Jesus taught what it means to live in the light. And Jesus, the light, was crucified and killed on a cross through the darkness of evil men. And yet death could not hold him. Darkness could not extinguish him. For on the third day, he rose again from the dead. He is not a light who lived 2,000 years ago and then went out, as all human lights eventually go out. but he was a light that rose again from the dead, and he lives today to be your light and to be my light in the dark world in which we live. And the dark world is still here with us today, just as the dark world was with Jesus in his day. The prophecy of Isaiah says that there will come a day where light will be all there is and there will be no more darkness. That is described by Isaiah as being the day of a new government, what Jesus called the kingdom of God, and he will be the ruler, the government, as Isaiah says, will be on his shoulders. No longer will it be human beings determining how we are to live in relationship with one another. No longer are human beings making laws, righteous or unrighteous, for human behavior. The government will rest on his shoulders. And it will be a government of justice and of righteousness and of peace. For he is the Prince of Peace. And so you and I who live in a world of darkness have been given the promise, and by faith are asked to believe that the day is coming when there will be no more darkness, and darkness will no longer trouble us. But today, we need peace in our darkness. As many of you are aware, the Hebrew word for peace, the word that is used here in Isaiah and indeed throughout the Hebrew scriptures, the Old Testament, is the word shalom. And it is a much deeper word than the English word peace. It is a word that means well-being. It is a word that speaks of wholeness, even of salvation through restoration. Not simply an absence of conflict, and not just simply a feeling that things are going to be okay, but the reality that somehow shalom, restoration, has been brought. That is what God promises in His Son, Jesus Christ, the light of the world. He will restore us into right relationship with Himself, and He will store us into right relationship with one another. There will be peace, and it will be an eternal peace. This new government will last forever. Unlike human empires and human governments which come and go, this one will last in eternity, and those who are citizens of that kingdom will enjoy it forever. Through Jesus Christ, Scripture says that we may live at peace with God. That is, our sin may be forgiven, and we may be restored into a right relationship with God. And that is a wonderful truth and a wonderful reality to live. And yet peace with God does not eliminate for now the darkness in which we live. And so, therefore, the Scriptures also speak to us as the disciples, as the followers of Jesus Christ, that what is available to us through Him is not only peace with God, but also the peace of God. That is, that peace, as Paul describes it, that passes all understanding, that can keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. See, it is the reality of darkness, of the world in which we live, that it disturbs our peace. That it takes away, or at least it tries to take away, wholeness and well-being. It is a darkness that disestablishes rather than establishes and brings about restoration. And we as Christians are often liable to the error of taking darkness too seriously, of focusing on it too much, of giving it too much power and influence in our lives, and we have taken our eyes off the light. We have not lost the light, but darkness has just become too prominent to us. And so the answer to the question of how can we live in a way where we are experiencing the peace of God, the biblical response is, keep your eyes on Jesus Christ. Focus on Him rather than on the darkness. Believe in Him rather than listening to the words of the darkness. And when the darkness invades your life, trust Him that He knows and understands, for He Himself was impacted by darkness. And believe, as He said, that while we live in this world, we will have trouble, but fear not, for I have overcome the world. He has overcome darkness in Himself. And through Him and through peace with Him, darkness can be overcome in us also. And so we focus our attention on Jesus Christ through prayer. That is the primary way in which God has blessed us, is prayer becomes our way of intentionally and deliberately focusing our attention on who Jesus is. As Paul says in Philippians chapter 4, don't be anxious. That is, don't live in the sphere of darkness and allow darkness produce anxiety within you. Instead, pray. Place your requests before God. And that is when the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. It is the function of prayer to take us and to focus us where God desires us to focus. And when we see the light, when we live in the light, when we walk in the light, all of these different ways of talking about an active, deliberate living into what Christ has given to us and the example that He has set before us, that is when the darkness will begin to lose its potency. That is when darkness will begin to lose its ability to dominate your life and my life. That is when the darkness begins to fade more and more. Again, ultimately will not disappear until that day when God says it is over. But until then, my peace I give you, says Jesus. And the invitation today is to live into that peace. And we do it best by prayerfully, intentionally focusing on Christ, using the Word of God as a guide for who He is and what He desires to do for us. To live into that light by living as He did, seeking to love our neighbor as ourself, caring for the needy, looking out for the weak, lifting up those who are down. Jesus Christ said, this is what it looks like to live in the light. Now you can do that also, for I will give you my peace. I will enable you to do so. Recently read the story about a lady who had recently lost her husband. And she was approaching Christmas for the first time without her husband, and she was feeling very lonely and very depressed. It was only a few days before Christmas when there was a knock on her door, and she opened the door and there was a delivery man there with a box. And as she was signing for the box, she said, "What's in the box?" And the man opens the box and he shows her it's a 6-month-old golden retriever puppy. And the woman wonders and says, "What is this and who sent this to me?" And the man says that this puppy is from a particular kennel, and it has all of its shots, and it has been housebroken, and it is a gift to you. And she says, "I don't understand who would give me a gift like this." And he hands her a letter and says, "It's all in the letter." And she opens it, and it's a letter from her husband, written about 3 weeks before he died. And in the letter, he shares with her about his love for her and how much he is anticipating when they will be together again in heaven. But he says, I know for now that you are going to be sad. I know it is going to be hard for you. I know Christmas especially will be difficult. So this puppy is a gift to you, to help you in your loneliness, to be a companion for you until we can be together again. And this story illustrates something very important that God has done for us. Because just as the man anticipated the way in which his wife would be responding to his death and facing a Christmas alone, so our Heavenly Father knows and anticipates what we will be dealing with as we face the darkness of the world in which we live. And God, knowing that that is the reality for His children, He wrote us a letter, His Word. And in His letter, He says, I know it's going to be hard for you to live in darkness. I know this is going to be difficult. I know this is going to test your faith. I know there will be times of despondency and struggle and loneliness and difficulty. But I am writing you to tell you that I am sending someone to you to be with you in your time of darkness. In fact, he will be my son. And he willingly will subject himself to the same darkness that you're experiencing. He will live his life in a dark world like you live your life in a dark world. But he will be an example for how to live that life in relationship with me. And so I'm giving you a letter to tell you about this. And I'm sending you a gift at Christmas, the gift of my son, that he may be for you a light through whom and with whom you can live in the midst of darkness and have my peace. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for your word, for this wonderful prophecy recorded, as we said, some 700 years before Jesus was actually born. But lifting up your people in a time of darkness and lifting us up today in our own darkness to say we are not forgotten, we are not ignored, but we are loved and we are blessed by a gracious God who, knowing our dilemma, who knowing the situation in which we will find ourselves, says, I am coming to you. I am going to give you a light. He will be a child born to you. He will be a son given to you. That in him and through him you would be at peace with me and you would be at peace with one another. That you would learn how to live in peace in the midst of a difficult and strange world. One where there is so much that is alienated from me. So do not despair, but be comforted. And know that I am with you, that I will never leave you or forsake you, but I will uphold you with my strong right hand. Allow my son to be the light that shines in your darkness, and allow him to give you his peace. Amen.